Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and it's day two of
Soundcheck's House of Horrors.
Pretty creepy, huh? It's amazing what a difference just a few sound effects on a voice can make. Scary movies and TV shows depend on them, maybe even more than the music. For example, this just might be the single creepiest TV theme I've ever heard. Notice I didn't say theme song, because I'm not sure how much of this is music and how much is scary noises. The opening for the current season of the TV series American Horror Story is really scary. You gotta see it. It's on our website at soundcheck.org. The show's sound editor is going to take apart a particularly horrific scene for us, showing how dialogue, sound effects, and music all work together to make us feel that delicious chill up our spines. And then we'll send a shiver down your spine with live music from an American classic, the Blind Boys of Alabama, who started singing gospel music together back in the 1930s. Yes, you heard me right. I said the 1930s. And they will raise the roof here in our Soundcheck studio. But first, joining me in Soundcheck's House of Horrors is our producer, Katie Bishop. Hey, Katie.
Hey, John. It's scary in here.
It's scary out there, apparently, too. I mean, with Halloween fast approaching, we were thinking of what we could do to fill our House of Horrors.
We were. And, you know, we kind of took the easy road on this one, because instead of going far, we just went right across the street to Blood Manor, which is one of New York's premier haunted houses.
Now, have you ever been to a haunted house before?
I'm ashamed to admit that I have never really been to. I've been to, like, kiddie haunted houses.
Why would you be ashamed? I've never been to one. I'm not ashamed to say it.
I don't know if it's a thing you do as a person growing up, but no, I've never been to one.
So you and our digital producer, Mike Katziff, went across, all the way across Varick Street.
We did. We ventured across the street
and
Blood Manor.
You're going to share some of what unfolded.
We will.
You went armed with recording gear.
We did. We came back.
I can't wait to hear this. So you'd never been to a haunted house before. Have you ever spoken to the proprietor of a haunted house before?
Not until last week when I interviewed two of the co-creators of Blood Manor, Jim Farrow and Jimmy Lorenzo. They were here in our Soundcheck studio. And I started things out by asking them, how do you transform a very typical run-of-the-mill looking warehouse across the street from our studios into an utterly terrifying haunted house?
When you go inside the building, the goal when you enter the attraction is to forget you're on the second floor of a building on Varick Street, because you're in Blood Manor for the next 20 odd minutes or so. And we go to great lengths, you know, creatively and economically, you know, in New York City things are expensive to do, to make sure that that atmosphere and that whole ambiance stays with you, and that all your senses are assaulted every moment that you're inside the manor.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, what I should be expecting there. Jimmy, what's your role within Blood Manor? Are you guys sort of doing the same types of jobs?
Well, I primarily run everything that happens outside. Okay. Orchestrating the lines. We have two different types of lines. We have a general admission line. We have an RIP line. We have performances that go on outside.
I'm sorry, did you say you have an RIP line?
Oh, yes, of course. Doesn't everybody have an RIP line? You know,
if you
go into Studio 54, it's VIP. If you come into Blood Manor, it's RIP.
Okay, good.
Okay, RIP is a quick pass type of a situation. And also, one of the things that we like to do because we like the experience to start as soon as you step onto Varick Street. So, you know, as soon as you get on, you get there and you see the line and people get excited, you know, so we have actors, we have performers, we have Coney Island type of freak show type of activities that take place. We suspend people with hooks through their body and all types of great stuff.
Jimmy, you were just talking about you have actors and performers. I'm sure there's an audition process, right? I mean, not just anyone can walk in and be a freak at Blood Manor. So is sound a part of the audition process? Do you have people sort of act out their scariest sounds?
Well, we ask everybody to scream, first of all. We need to hear how you scream.
Oh.
But yes, there is. We have calls maybe 3 or 4 times during the summer. And, you know, everyone thinks, I think they think, that it's kind of fun and cool to work at a haunted attraction. And it is. But it's not, I will use the word easy, or as you might think it is. It's not like we just go boo or jump out. We're looking for someone who is obviously animated, who is willing to go outside themselves, if you will. You know, sometimes I guess in a play or a movie or whatever, a director might say, listen, you're being over the top. You can never be too over the top at Blood Manor, you know. So we're looking for that extroverted person, someone who can, you know, isn't, I don't know, they're bashful for sure, but, you know, willing to be crazy in front of somebody, you know.
Whoa, okay. Jimmy, do you have a scariest sound that you also like to make?
I like to work on the side of silent.
Ooh.
Okay, because we have, in addition to the screams, and actually, Jimmy has to put $10 into the bottle for saying boo. Because if you say boo, that's taboo.
Yeah,
yeah, no, no boos are allowed.
Okay.
You know, that's Casper, that's for young children, and we're not for young children. Like I said, I get to see the performers outside all the time, and I see, like, the creepiest Rachel when Rachel was with us.
Tremendous.
She had.
Is that one of your actors?
Yeah, she was with us for a few years, and then she had to move on. And she would come, and she had just a baby doll. And, you know, the head was gone.
Ooh.
And she would just be in your face, but not in your face, but kind of like there, but she wasn't really there.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
She
didn't
speak.
That sounds like a very fine line. She's
didn't
there,
speak.
But she's not there.
Right, and she would, like, kind of point to the doll and want you to touch the doll. You'd go to touch the doll, and she'd take it away. And it was just,
she was great.
It was very good. You know, so there's a lot of things that you can do.
Yeah. I'm here with Jim Farrow and Jimmy Lorenzo. They are the co-creators of Blood Manor, along with, was it Mike Rodriguez?
Mike Rodriguez, yep.
We are talking about Blood Manor, which is right across the street from the WNYC studios. And I and my colleague, Mike, will be heading over to Blood Manor to check it out. So can you, I don't know how much you can tell us about what is actually happening inside. I'm sure you want to keep a little bit of mystery. We actually have a little bit of sound, though, that maybe you might hear if you're in Blood Manor. So I want to play a clip of that for everyone. Do you hear that inside of Blood Manor? Is that accurate?
It's very romantic. The undead love that. They love it.
So do you guys actually make the music yourselves? I mean, where did that come from?
No, we don't. We don't create the music itself. There is one company called Midnight Syndicate.
Okay.
They do a great job. They have all different kinds of ambient sounds and music and what have you. So, you know, they feed us a lot of that. We get from them. And then you know, you get sound clips in various places. So that particular sound that we just heard is really part. We have a, not to give too much away, but there's a pitch black maze in Blood Manor.
Oh, no.
And in speakers in the wall, besides that sound there, you'll hear a little like whispers. And it's literally pitch black. I mean, you only move forward touching the walls with your hands because you physically could not see anything. And, of course, there's actors inside that you're not ready for. So sometimes the simplest things are the biggest scares. You know?
Yeah, my stomach is literally starting to hurt right now.
when we first put in the black maze, Michael, who sometimes goes over a little over the top, actually had electric wires. So you would get a 9-volt charge.
What?
Yeah, when you touch the wall, you'd be shot.
So Jim, the attorney part of our group here, was like, guys, we need to take that down.
Yeah, I mean, how much?
It's only 9 volts.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
It wasn't deadly.
Guys.
You weren't.
Well, I mean, how much of a physical aspect of Blood Manor is there? I mean, are the actors They're not allowed to touch you,
no,
are they?
No, never.
No, no, we don't, yeah, no, we don't want, but they're in your face.
Right.
You know, they're in your face. They're certainly invading that personal space as people talk about, for sure. Oh, but no, they're not going to touch you. You might want to touch them or touch each other, but the actors aren't touching you.
Uh-oh, Mike, I see he's in the control room. He's getting worried. how do you know what makes something scary? I mean, isn't it that different for everybody?
It is. It's for, you know, I get calls. I do a lot of the answering the phone. People call all the time. Thank God. And people ask a million different things. But if there was one they ask the most of is, are there clowns at Blood Manor? I said, well, do you want me to tell you the truth? And they're like, well, of course I do. And I said, well, no, of course there's no clowns. Now, you know, of course there are. Because I had one girl just yesterday, she says, my friend, she just can't come if there's any kind of clown. We're going to come anyway, but she can't come. So I said, well, just tell her there's no clowns. No, you don't understand. If she goes into a room with clowns, it'll forget about it. So people don't like killer clowns. People are afraid like bugs, things of that nature, you know, animals and bugs kinds of things. So everybody has a different thing. Like we talked briefly before about the dark, the pitch black, people freak in the pitch black, you know. So it's all... We try to think of things. We take ideas, obviously, between ourselves, among ourselves, but also from our cast and actually from patrons. We have, you know, patrons that have been coming year after year after year, and sometimes they give a suggestion. You know, we're open to anything, and we find what makes people scream. If does it work? The actors tell us what works, and then we just absolutely go hard at it.
I'm here with Jim Farrow, who you just heard, and Jimmy Lorenzo, both co-creators of Blood Manor. So you guys know that we talked about it earlier. Mike, my colleague, and I are going to be heading over to Blood Manor. I want to know from you both, do's and don'ts. I don't think I've ever been to a haunted house, especially not one that is, you know, an adult haunted house.
Yes.
What do you guys suggest for us? What are your tips?
I would make sure that you use the ladies' room before you come.
So if you pee your pants at Blood Manor, you get a free T-shirt.
Does that happen?
Oh, all the time.
I have no idea.
Oh, all the time.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes. If I can say it on the radio, the T-shirt says, I pee my pants at Blood Manor.
And we usually put them in front of the step and repeat outside, take their photo, and they're on Facebook in 2 minutes.
Oh, no, absolutely.
God, I hope you guys people are love it. My leg.
No, I'm
no, not at all. Not. I said use the restroom. I'm not kidding you.
That's definitely number
okay,
one.
Okay, any other tips?
Maybe don't eat too close to when you come. Not too close, you know. Yes. Don't go in on a full stomach.
I sounds like you guys have a pretty serious cleanup crew at Blood Manor. Yeah. I wouldn't want that job.
No, neither would I.
All right. Any other tips for us?
Don't hide your eyes. You want to experience it and see it, you know.
And don't be in a rush.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yes.
There's so much stuff in every room.
You'll see that we pay a lot of attention. As they say in the entertainment, the production value, very important. Of course, you have to be able to withstand it to stay in the room, but I'll leave that up to you and Mike.
Well, guys, I am sufficiently terrified. Thank you for that. I have been joined by Jim Farrow, Jimmy Lorenzo from Blood Manor, right across the street from WNYC Studios. Guys, I'll let you know what we think about Blood Manor, but thank you both so much for joining us on Soundcheck.
It's our pleasure.
All right, well, you just heard our producer, Katie Bishop, talking with two of the creators of Blood Manor, one of New York City's premier haunted houses, conveniently located right across the street from our WNYC studios. All right, so, Katie, let's pick up the story. Mike Katziff is now joining us here in the studio, another of our soundcheck team, and the two of you went across Varick Street and descended into the infernal depths of Blood Manor. Is that right?
That's correct, John.
And one of you had a microphone.
I was carrying a microphone, although both of us are all over this tape.
And now, Mike, was this your first time in a haunted house as
well? It was, yeah.
All right, so the two of you are going through this haunted house together and clearly have made it out alive. What scared you the most going in?
Peeing our pants. Definitely the number one thing that we were both concerned about going in. And then, Mike, you tweeted about it.
Yeah, so I put a message on Twitter just saying, I'm going to my first haunted house. What should I know ahead of time? And I think almost everyone who wrote back either said something about pee before you go, a link to buying Depends on the internet, you know, things like that.
Right. And then as soon as we get there, this happens.
How long have you worked here?
I've been here since we opened up about 9 years ago.
And is it really scary?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's pretty scary. Had our screens, we had our people their pants.
Damn it. Can't believe that's real.
How many people actually pee their pants?
Check out our Instagram page and you'll see all the pictures up.
Okay, so you take a photo every time.
Every time. Because they get a free shirt.
So wait a minute. You ruin your pants and they give you a free shirt.
Right. Yeah. So that's why everyone pees their pants, because they get something free for doing it.
Wow.
John, I'd just like to make clear that neither of us peed our pants.
That was going to be my next question.
Let's just put that out there.
All right. So how scary was this place?
It was pretty scary, actually. There was every room sort of had its own theme to it. So I think every time you changed rooms, you didn't really know what to expect.
And is sound an important part of
sound is a really important part. And right from the beginning, actually, they really did a great job of creating this sort of sonic environment that really heightened our fear. Actually, let's take a listen. This is right from the beginning of Blood Manor.
God.
This is Mike's first time hearing the tape, by the way.
Displaying professionalism under fire, Mike Katziff and Katie Bishop in Blood Manor.
We take our jobs very seriously.
Don't leave me behind.
I don't like this.
It's just being honest.
Yeah.
So how much screaming did the two of you do?
Well, there's a lot of me screaming all over this tape. And there's a little bit of Mike screaming, too.
As I say, I don't remember screaming, but more of kind of like, so I don't know.
Well, what I've heard of the tapes, Mike, your scream or yell or whatever it is virtually drowned out by Katie screaming at the same time. What was that?
Some sort of horrible monster. I don't know. There's so much.
There's a lot of like air gun sort of things firing at you too. So it you feel it on your face sometimes too.
Ah. Yeah, it's weird. What was the scariest part for each of you, Mike?
I think for me there was one room that was sort of this operation table gone horribly awry. So there's all sorts of like viscera hanging on things and lots of blood, and there's like this kind of creepy doctor who clearly is the guy responsible for all of the horrors.
That's pretty creepy. What about you, Katie?
For me, clown room. Totally hands down. It was all about the clown room. Oh no. We're in the clown room. We're in.
Sometimes you can make it. What? What's the matter? Don't you like clowns?
I think my favorite part of that, Katie, is how you're trying to do your job narrating and reporting on what you see.
Edward R. Murrow.
And then the first sighting of a clown and the screaming begins anew.
Oh, truly terrifying.
That's amazing.
All right. So soundcheck listeners, if that wasn't enough for you, you can hear a condensed 3-minute version of Katie and Mike's excellent adventure in Blood Manor. on our website at soundcheck.org, if hearing them scream for just a few seconds isn't enough for you, there's plenty more where that came from. Blood Manor is open tonight through Saturday night, November 2nd, right across the street from our studios on Varick Street in Lower Manhattan. Katie Bishop, Mike Katziff, what you do for your jobs.
I need a raise.
All right, thanks very much, guys. Happy Halloween.
Thanks.
You too.
Coming up next, things get even scarier as we check in with American Horror Story Coven. The supervising sound editor pulls apart a scene for us next on Soundcheck.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a...
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. More now in our Halloween series...
Soundcheck's House of Horrors.
As we talked about yesterday on the show, sound is one of the essential ingredients to any scary movie or TV show. We heard some classic examples from our friends at the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. They offered up some soundtracks from things like The Omen and The Exorcist. But sound effects are just as essential, and the process of creating the overall sound design on a project is one of the great underappreciated arts. Joining me on the line is Gary McGregian. He is the supervising sound editor on the series American Horror Story, Coven, which airs Wednesday nights at 10 on the FX network. Gary, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
So what does a supervising sound editor do?
Well, my job is pretty much to oversee the editorial, the post-production editorial of the dialogue, all the production dialogue that was recorded, as well as any additional recording that we may need, as well as the sound effects and sound design for a show, and kind of being the person to make sure that the producers are getting the vision that they foresee,
mm-hmm.
and then adding any of my expertise into it as well, too, to help out.
Now, if you're making a record or publishing a book, if the editing is good, the listener or viewer or reader will never notice it. Is it the same with your job as well?
Yes. it's amazing when a lot of people don't realize the amount of work that goes into, especially the dialogue tracks. People assume that everything that they're hearing in a show is recorded on set. But 90% of that is all added after. And the production, if someone were to hear the production that was recorded on set and the work that's done to kind of help clean up, to taking ticks and pops, and sometimes you'll hear movement from crew members, you know, it may be a scene with two people and you hear people moving around in the background.
Mm.
And that's stuff that we do to help minimize and pull out and make it as seamless and smooth as possible.
So if you've got two people on a street corner talking and you're hearing like cars going by in the background, much of that has been added in later?
Yes, yeah, some of it is inherent in the production tracks, but one thing you get into is when you have different angles. So you'll have one angle where the person is, you'll see cars going by in the background, and the other angle doesn't have any cars. So when they're cutting back and forth between the two, you lose those car bys. So that's part of the job of the sound effects is to kind of help that transition as well, and also the editorial process of editing the dialogue to make it as seamless as possible so it's not jarring. You don't hear these large jumps in backgrounds and effects that were recorded on production.
Right. Now, with American Horror Story, this season, the current one, is set in a modern-day setting. It's a school for young witches.
I didn't know that there even were black witches. As it turns out, I'm an heir to Tituba. She was a house slave in Salem. She was the first to be accused of witchcraft. So technically, I'm part of your tribe.
But it's also set in the 1830s. Does that pose a special challenge? Not maybe the witchcraft part of it, but the fact that you're inhabiting two different worlds at the same time.
It, definitely. The trying to create, I mean, there's so much sound that goes, so much noise, I want to say, that goes on in the world. You're out and you hear airplanes and you hear cars and all that stuff is still kind of going on in the filming process of the 1830s. So trying to clean that stuff out and then to give it the backgrounds that are ideal for the 1830s and to try to be as authentic as possible, that's a challenge.
For your sins, Madame LaLaurie, you are damned to live forever. To never know the release of sweet death. To never reunite with loved ones in the realm beyond, but instead... to be alone, sealed up in your unmarked grave for all eternity, listening to the world go on around you, even until that world is no more.
So the challenge isn't just what to add in, but what to take out as well.
Yes. I mean, there could be a scene that there's air conditioning going on in the background.
Right, in the 1830s.
Yes, exactly.
We're speaking with Gary McGregie, and he's the supervising sound editor working on the FX series American Horror Story, which this season is about a coven of witches. And Gary, you've selected the opening of episode 2 for us to listen to. What's going on in this scene?
So this scene, one of the witches, Misty Day, comes across some poachers, and they've killed alligators, and she can bring things back to life. So this scene has some of the alligators coming back to life and attacking the poachers. So this has a combination of what you'll hear in this clip. It's a good mix of kind of what we do with when we break things down into the dialogue and effects. You'll hear production dialogue. You'll hear ADR, additional dialogue replacement, that was done after the fact to help clean things up. And then you'll hear the effects that were added. There's some subtle magic. Hmm. There's, you know, we've enhanced the gator. We've enhanced the gator chomps down on the guy's arm. You'll hear specifics that were all kind of created after the fact, because none of that happened on set.
All right. Well, let's hear it as viewers of the TV series American Horror Story Coven hear it first.
Not all dead.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yes.
So that's the scene. The poachers are being killed by these gators that have been brought back to life by one of the witches. Now, the dialogue. If we're gonna separate out the different component parts of this, how much actual dialogue was recorded on set for that scene?
A good portion of it, most of it was, and this show in particular, it's rare that we ever bring actors back in to do ADR, which is sometimes if there's a lot of
additional
noise going
dialogue
on in the
recording.
Scene.
Yeah.
Yes, if there's any noise going on, sometimes they'll have wind machines and things like that. We need to bring people back in to redo their lines. This show rarely does, and this scene there was. It's mostly production, what you hear, the opening, the almost dead or mostly dead line, that's production. Most of the screams, we did record some additional screams in ADR to help cut through all that was going on. And you'll be able to kind of hear where those spots are. And it might sound jumpy when you're just listening to the dialogue, but when it's all played together, it's a good balance and a nice mix.
All right, so this is just the dialogue of that scene that we just heard from American Horror Story.
Not all dead.
All right, so that's how it sounded on set. Now, a lot of the horror, Gary, comes from, and this is, I guess, where, you know, sound design and sound editing comes from the effects, the other sounds that are creating the kind of sonic atmosphere here. So what are we about to hear next?
Next, we'll be hearing the effects mix, and in this, you'll hear some of the backgrounds that are in there, but mostly the principal things that you're going to hear are the gator coming to life, the hiss, the kind of roar from the gator, the chomp. But then there's also another element, which is Foley, which is a process of recording the feet as the guy runs away, the footsteps. You'll hear some of the brush movement. You'll hear dragging as the gator pulls him into the water. And some of the water effects are from Foley as well as sound effects.
And where do these, you know, the hissing and the gators coming, where do those sounds come from?
We have I work for Technicolor Sound, and we have a large database of sound effects that were some stuff from library, some stuff that people have gone out and recorded. I myself have recordings that I've made, and all of this stuff goes into, you know, kind of what you hear. So it's a combination of it's a large combination of stuff. This scene was also edited by Tim Cleveland, who's our effects editor on the show, and he does an amazing job of blending, of finding those little elements to enhance and finding the right thing to just kind of like, you know, sometimes things miss something.
Right.
And it's finding that sound that might not necessarily be the literal sound, but it helps sell and helps tell the story.
Right, because nobody really knows what an alligator brought back to life would sound like. So
exactly.
You have to create that in the listener's, the viewer's mind.
Yes.
So what is the music's role in this scene?
The music's role in this scene definitely helps propel the action, the intensity, and there's kind of a natural resolve to it at the end.
All right, so that's the music that James S. Levine wrote for this little scene that we're hearing from the FX series American Horror Story, Coven, which airs Wednesday nights at 10. Gary McGregian is the supervising sound editor, and he's sort of pulled apart this scene for us on Soundcheck today. Let's put all of those three parts back together, the dialogue, the special effects, and the music, and this is the full scene.
Not our dad.
So, Gary, on a scale of 1 to 10, how challenging a scene was this for you?
every scene seems like it's a 10 in the challenge department. They all have their own problems to deal with. But this was a fun scene to work on. But I'd say probably about an 8.
Uh-huh.
Because it's mostly literal stuff what you're seeing, you know, aside from the magic coming back to life. That's
right.
the one surreal element to it. But most of it is just kind of accentuating what you see and making things exciting and now, fun.
And how do you get into supervising sound editing? Do you begin as an editor, as a sound engineer, as a musician? Who does this sort of work?
All of the above. there are a lot of musicians that are in this line of work. Myself, I grew up playing drums and played in college at Michigan State, and I got into doing post-production sound because I wanted to do something with sound, with music, but I wasn't good enough a musician, so I decided to I've always been fascinated with how sound was done for TV and film, and I kind of started working as an editor, and I spent years working as a sound effects editor in particular, and then kind of working my way into supervising, which supervising deals more, it's more dialogue intensive than it is sound effects, but mm-hmm. it's helpful to have both, you know, trainings.
Right. So do you have a sound design hero? Is there someone that sound editors look up to and say, wow, someday I want to make sounds like that person?
I think the one person that everyone can agree on is Ben Burtt, the sound designer for Star Wars. Everyone I know who's gotten into this line of work has been influenced by him in some way. But there's also Randy Tom and Gary Rydstrom, amazing sound designers. And they're not just about finding the cool sounds and making the cool sounds. They do that, but it's all about telling the story.
Right.
And they do an amazing job of finding the best way to do that through sound.
So with Ben Burtt and Star Wars, this is the guy who created the sound of R2-D2 and the lightsabers. And, of course, this old favorite. You know, it's funny, Gary. You hear Darth Vader breathing during the scene, and it's just like this... It seems so natural and plausible for the character. You hear it on its own like that, and it's actually a pretty complicated little piece of sound design, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, do you have a favorite movie from a horror film, something that has really great sound?
One of my favorite movies, and it's not necessarily horror in the slasher sense. It's more of a thriller, but mm-hmm. No Country for Old Men is one of my favorite sounding movies. And that was done by Skip Livesay and Craig Berkey, the sound designer. That sound is so natural, and it's the first movie I've seen in a long time where I was on the edge of my seat, and it was all based on sound, because there isn't a ton of music in that movie. So it's just playing to the viewer. It's putting that viewer in the scene.
So the film is No Country for Old Men, and I remember when this movie came out that people were saying, well, there's like no music. I mean, it's got like 15 or 16 minutes of music in it. Do you think the reason is that the sound design was so compelling that the director, producers didn't feel they needed anything else?
I don't know. I mean, that's this is a Coen Brothers movie, and right. I can only imagine that they that was kind of the intent going in, that sound design was going to play a huge part of the film, so music wasn't as necessary.
Yeah.
I don't want to say necessary, because it was that movie is just a beautiful film in sound.
So we've been speaking with Gary McGregian, supervising sound editor working for the FX series American Horror Story, Coven, which airs Wednesday nights at 10 Eastern. And Gary, what are you doing for Halloween?
I'm probably going to be staying at home with my wife and my 11-month-old son.
Ah.
Handing out candy.
That sounds scary.
Yeah.
Gary, pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.
Don't forget, this week we're also asking you to tell us who you think is the scariest musician of all time. Leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612 or tweet us using the hashtag #scariestmusician. Up next, live music from the scary good gospel group, the Blind Boys of Alabama. That's next on Soundcheck.
When they put old Daniel in the line,
God put a rainbow in the clouds,
just to prove a promise to the sons of men.
God put a rainbow in the clouds.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When the Blind Boys of Alabama first started making music together in the late 1930s, Pearl Harbor hadn't yet been attacked, racial segregation was the norm, and 12-inch vinyl albums hadn't yet been invented. But as the decades have passed, this gospel group has managed to adapt along with changing times, often by venturing outside the traditional gospel repertoire. Their new album, called I'll Find a Way, was produced by Justin Vernon of the band Bon Iver, and includes guest appearances by Sam Amidon and Merrill Garbus of Tune Yards and Shara Warden. The Blind Boys of Alabama are here with me in the Soundcheck studio today for a live set, and they're going to start us off with a song called I've Been Searching.
I've searching so long,
searching so long.
I've been searching so long. Since I found you, my whole life has changed. Since I found you, Lord, my life ain't the same. Since I found you, my whole life has changed. Since I found you, Lord, my life ain't the same.
The Blind Boys of Alabama, the five-time Grammy-winning gospel group, live on Soundcheck with a song called I've Been Searching. Let me welcome the Blind Boys. It's been many years since you guys were last on Soundcheck. It's great.
How many?
I think probably like six, if I'm counting correctly. But for you, Jimmy Carter, that's just 6 years.
Just a drop in the bucket.
That's nothing. Jimmy Carter, Ricky McKinney, Ben Moore, all of you guys were here the last time. Paul Beasley has joined the group since then. And then there's the guys in the band, Joey Williams and Ben Odom on guitars, some backing vocals, Austin Moore behind the drum kit, Peter Levin playing our piano, Blind Boys of Alabama. So, Jimmy, how old were you when you first started this band?
We were singing together in the school in 39.
39.
But we didn't go professional. We didn't leave. The Blind Boys didn't leave school until 1944, June the 10th.
Right. And so, but how old were you all when you first started singing together?
From 12 to 17.
Yeah. All right. And you are, one of the original members of the Blind Boys of Alabama. The lineup has obviously changed over the years.
Yeah. Well, we've had some to pass on.
We had
to replace some, but.
And at what point did it started as just voices, right? It was a harmony group. You were singing gospel, and it was just using the voices.
Yeah, we had a quartet that we idolized.
Who was that?
Called the Golden Gate Quartet.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say them. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were trying to emulate them to a point.
And at some point, that Golden Gate sound is a great sound, but at some point you started adding instruments. When was that?
Well, when we started, the instrument, when the Blind Boys left school, they had nothing but an old flat-top hollow box guitar.
Hmm.
That's all. But as time went on, they got amplification, all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Now, this new album called I'll Find a Way, this really was about kind of finding a way for all these different people to come in and be a part of the Blind Boys experience. You had all these guest singers and Justin Vernon producing it. How was it working with Justin Vernon up in his cold place there in Wisconsin?
That's what it was. Well, what happened was our general manager came to us one day and asked us said, how would y'all like to do a project with Justin Vernon? So we said, fine, who is he? But after we got to know him, after we were introduced to him, and, you know, he's a very fine gentleman, mm-hmm. had a studio in his house. We went up there in December. In Wisconsin, so you
Wisconsin
know,
in December, a bunch of Southern guys.
Oh yeah. you know it was cold, but it was warm in his house and it was warm in his heart. So it was a good experience.
Well, I mean, that's kind of part of the fun of music, right?
It is.
There's always another thing to learn, another person to meet.
Another challenge, too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody brings on their own style, and we take what we got and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. The Blind Boys of Alabama are performing for us here in the Soundcheck studio. Their new album is called I'll Find a Way. It is out now. Let's hear another song. This one is called I Shall Not Be Moved. Once again, the Blind Boys of Alabama.
I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved.
Like a tree
planted by the water.
I shall not be moved.
I'm like a tree planted by the water.
Do you know
I shall not be moved? Do you know
I shall not be moved?
I shall not be moved.
I'm like a tree
planted by the water.
Fire in the Holy Ghost, I shall not be moved. I said I got the fire in the Holy Ghost, I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water. I said I shall not be moved.
Do you know
I shall not be moved?
I shall not be moved.
Can I get one wind to tell?
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I'm like a tree.
Guitar
here now.
Come on. Come on,
hey.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Just like a tree
planted by the water.
I'm on my way to heaven. I shall not be moved. On my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the water.
I shall not be moved.
I'm like a tree
planted by the water.
Hey,
come on, Paul, let me hear from you.
Listen, Jesus is my captain. I shall not be moved.
I hear you, boy.
Jesus is my captain. I shall not be moved. I'm just like that tree.
Do you know I shall not be moved.
I'm like a tree.
Blind Boys of Alabama, live on Soundcheck with I Shall Not Be Moved. Their new album's called I'll Find a Way. Jimmy Carter, you're not just singing lead there, but basically cueing everybody, you know? I want to hear from you, Paul. Paul sings. I want to hear a guitar solo. Joey plays. In other bands, you know, that would all be done with a nod to a musician. But, you know, as blind singers, you've developed ways of orally cueing each other.
Orally communicating, that's right.
Yeah. The album is called I'll Find a Way, the latest from the Blind Boys of Alabama, the five-time Grammy-winning gospel group. They've been playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. Guys, it has been a long time since you were last here, for me at least, for you, as you said before, Jimmy, a drop in the bucket, but so glad to have you guys back with us on Soundcheck today.
Well, we're glad to be back, and anytime you want us, just let us know. We'll be tickled to death to come back.
Thanks.
There is something I may not know. There are some places that I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing, God is real. Can feel him in my soul.
Before we wrap things up today, I wanted to play a couple of voicemails that we got from you, our listeners, about the late Lou Reed, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 71. A lot of you called us up to share your Lou Reed memories. Here are just a few.
My name is Frank from Montclair. It's a big loss to the rock and roll community. Lou Reed was one of the greatest.
Pedro lives out of the Wilshire Hotel. He looks out a window without glass.
Hi, I'm listening to your show about Lou Reed and just wanted to tell you that one of the most phenomenal concerts I ever saw was the Lou Reed at the Bottom Line. It was great.
Gonna turn around and hate it. You know this ain't changed. Oh, now baby, sweet Jane. Oh.
Hey, it's Brian Palmer. I'm in Brooklyn, New York. And I have a story about my brother who went to teach an electronic music session for one of Lou's friends. And Lou sat in, sitting quietly in the room with his sunglasses on. My brother, not knowing who this person was, later found at the end of the session that it was Lou Reed. And what I'm left with Lou's contribution to music is his need to push and break the boundaries of creating music with sound, any music with sound.
Hi, this is Kate. I ended up coming to New York because I was so in love with the kind of New York that he sang about, and I'm still here 33 years later.
This Halloween is something to be sure of. Especially to be here without you. There's a Greta Garbo and an Alfred Hitchcock and some black Jamaican stud. There's five Cinderellas and some leather drags. I almost fell into my mug. There's a Crawford Davis and a tacky Cary Grant. And some homeboys looking for trouble down here from the Bronx. But there ain't no Harry and no Virgin Mary. You won't hear those voices again. And Johnny Rio and Rotten Rita, you never see those faces again. This Halloween is something to be sure, especially to be here without you.
Soundcheck listeners, remembering Lou Reed.
Some crack team from Washington Heights, the boys from Avenue B, the girls from Avenue D, a Tinkerbell in tights. This celebration somehow gets me down.
That's going to do it for today's show. Tune in tomorrow as Soundcheck's House of Horrors wraps up with a Scariest Musician Smackdown. We'll pit your nominations for Scariest Musician against each other in a quick-fire series of Smackdown battles. And it's not too late to tell us who you think is the scariest musician of all time. Leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612 or tweet us using the hashtag #ScariestMusician. And we'll talk with the theatrical glam rock band Sparks about their new career retrospective. And we'll hear a live performance from Sunlux, the project of electronic musician Ryan Lott, though he'll play acoustic. Our theme song is by Marco Benevento, and that's going to do it for the program today. I'm John Schaefer. See you back here tomorrow night. This is Soundcheck.